we would stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kathy, if you'd take the roll, please. Here.
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 Okay. We only have 30 minutes, and I think we've got a significant amount of items to discuss. BJ has prepared some documentation. So, BJ, what I really would like to do is just go ahead and hand it over to you.
Perfect.
And let you kind of go through what you have.
Okay.
And we can ask you questions as necessary.
Sure. I provided to everybody the documentation that we need. First thing I want to talk about are the maps that are, there's three of them stapled together, Exhibit A, CRA District Number 2, CRA District Number 3, and CRA District Number 4. The city has four CRA districts. Number 1 is actually in our Tascola Corporate Park area. These were put in place back in, the three here were put in place back in 2012. And as we continue to look at the marketability and the competitiveness of our commercial corridors, 310 and 16, we started reviewing, Scott and I started reviewing these maps. I'm sure there is a reason why these were established as they are. If you look at the Summit and Taylor Road one, this district number 2, I think where this is missing the boat, though, is extending down to Broad Street properties along Broad Street. A lot of these are commercial or residential properties, which the CRA is applicable to, but it's also applicable to commercial. We also have over in the Cypress area, for the most part, the established industrial park. But what we don't have here is anything along Broad Street, especially at the 310 or the Broad and Summit corner, or even along the Taylor Road, you know, just east of Taylor Road where there are some vacant properties out there. The same can be said. I think we're missing out on some with the Columbia Road one. Maybe not as much, but I think there's an opportunity here to develop this one maybe more along the Mink and Broad corridor. Some of those areas, you can see this stops just at the eastern boundary, northeastern boundary of Mink and Broad. I would like to try to incorporate some of the northwest corner in this as well that has been rezoned for commercial development as well. South of this is the Corporate Park CRA, so it's already in place. And then if you look at the Old Village one, I think that, you know, we may want to consider going south of Mill Street down there, but also east on Broad Street. We've got vacant properties over near the Kroger area that I think could benefit from this, and potentially some of the others here that are zoned commercial. And when I start talking to CRAs, you know, the CRAs that we have are 15-year, 100% by state statute, but some of these I don't see us maximizing out to that point. I think, you know, a little bit of tax incentives to people to come in and develop, whether it's 20, 30, 40%, is attractive enough when they're talking about property taxes. To my knowledge, looking back, these three that have been in place from 2012 have never been used by anybody, whether it's residential or commercial here. I don't know if that's just because they haven't been marketed well, if the need hasn't been there, or if they're just missing the boat on the areas that they're covering. I know just recently we had a discussion with somebody about property on Broad Street, and that was one of the first questions they asked, and we don't have anything available to them right now for tax incentives. Talking to our legal counsel, these can be expanded through an action of counsel. So we would draft up the legislation, setting the new boundaries for these, and ultimately present it to counsel for adoption. Happy to answer any questions. I know I didn't expand where I'd like to see these on the map. We can certainly provide that and get it to all of council to say, hey, we'd like to see these expanded. Here are the boundaries we'd like to see. I just think that as we talk about the 16 corridor and the 310 and the development we're trying to get, that these could be another good tool that we have to attract folks here. Right now, there's nothing in place for them. Happy to answer any questions or address any concerns or comments.
I would agree that marketing has probably been an issue for us. I would definitely, this isn't something I just want to spring on council, though. I would like to give some time to ask those questions and digest that a little bit. Do you guys?
I agree.
What I would like to do, knowing that the committee didn't say no, or, this is not something we want to pursue, I'll put together the revised proposed maps and just an explanation to provide all of council my next council report. And that way we have a meeting where we can get some feel and then maybe try to take some action on this at the first meeting in September. That gives us a month to vet it out and answer any questions that council may have.
I think that's a great idea because I'm not in the no camp at all.
Okay.
I just would like to see a little bit more information on it. So I think it's a good idea.
Very good. Well, we'll proceed accordingly then with that schedule and I'll be watching for something with my next council report. Thank you. The next thing on our agenda is the State Route 310 trail expansion. As we start looking at several things here, this kind of struck me. We've always had discussions about trying to get folks to the downtown from north of Mill Street and south of Mill Street. I'm sorry. And in the map that is provided here shows what is currently in place. There's a key here. This is showing south of Mill Street, the Taskill Ridge subdivision is on the west side with Goodcourt, Whitehead Ridge Drive. South of there is the Hazleton Town Center with the Mexican restaurants. As you start looking at this, there's a gap that's missing, getting people ultimately all the way from Foundation Park, where we have sidewalks that come down Vine Street across Broad, that get people into the downtown over to Municipal Park ultimately. Pataskala Ridge right now has it where you can get through, as you can see with the yellow line and the green line, that's all existing, whether it's sidewalk or trail. So that all exists. Where we have a gap is the red. And what I propose that we look at doing is utilizing and leveraging our State Route 310 TIF funds that can only be used for improvements along State Route 310. I talked to the finance director. Our revenues with that would be able to support a project such as this. What this does then ultimately, and there's a second part to this I'll get to, but what this ultimately does is opens up walkability from Pataskala Ridge, Municipal Park, Brightwater Subdivision through the path through Municipal Park, getting people all the way down to where the Mexican restaurant is. Granted, the red that you see there should have been put in when the Pataskala Ridge Subdivision was built. It wasn't. So now we are, I think it's important to try to close that gap with that. Alan and I have been working with our engineer, Job Henderson, to try to get a cost estimate for this. But we would certainly be able to utilize the State Route 310 TIF. This is allowable cost. And again, this would not be money that could be used elsewhere in the city. It's only for projects along State Route 310. The second part to this is implementation of routes and wayfinding signs. And when I say that, we would not be able to use the TIF, well, on Broad Street or 310, we'd be able to use the TIF money for it. But what I would like to do is see us get designated routes throughout the city. In this area where people can get to the library or Municipal Park or the pool or Foundation Park or the bank, Chase Bank where there's sidewalks down here and create a wayfinding that we designate routes so people know that they can do this and that they can walk here, ride their bikes and get to these places and start pointing out, you come down, turn right here to go to Municipal Park. I think it's an expansion of some of our other projects we've done, including the Municipal Park trail, when we said, hey, let's get this in so we can start connecting people to the downtown. We also did it with the stuff we did on Broad Street and to get people from Foundation Park across Broad and ultimately down Vine Street into the downtown. So I think this is an important piece that we're missing, and especially as we anticipate additional development down south, and potentially other sections of Carrington Ridge happening behind the Mexican restaurant. There's other areas here that would be able to benefit from this. I think using the TIF funds is a very good way to do it because that is dedicated only for improvements on State Route 310. We have some of those dedicated now to our debt payment for the 310 improvements. But talking to Jamie about this, we certainly would be able to take a look at getting this in there. There may be some drainage work that needs done or some piping because there is a swale down through there, so there may be some of that. But I think it could end up being a real good benefit to the city with the way signings and having that, and it may be a boost to the folks down south here in the strip center that for walkability and getting people down there. Happy to answer any questions that council may have.
I think it sounds great.
PG, Do you know, has there been a cost estimate on what that would cost?
There's a very high-level cost estimate, and we were talking about that this morning in an island. If you want to weigh in maybe on some of that.
I can go.
I remember. I'm sorry. Very high level, looking at just asphalt and stuff, it was about $50,000 roughly. But there are some, I anticipate, some elevation changes that will need to occur. So it may be a little more than that. I know Alan has reached out to Jobs to start getting, or is going to reach out to Jobs to start getting a tighter cost estimate for it. But I think it's such a, you know, we've always talked about getting people into the downtown from here, and this is the way to do it.
And it's a safety thing, too, because I'm watching kids walk down the side of 310. If we had the directional signs, I mean, obviously it's their choice whether or not they want to cut down 310 on this side, but you have an option for them with the whole in Pokemon Go thing that the kids are walking around doing. I'm watching the kids look at their phone and walk on the side of 310. So I think this sounds nice.
Well, and I guess my question would be, have we identified anything else for the use of those funds? I mean, is it putting anything in a different status of getting done? Is there...
No. Right now, with 310 getting repaved in our downtown, getting redone, there's nothing else that's been identified along the 310 corridor. You know, this money can only be used on 310. So... you know, we can't take it and pave another road or something someplace. And that's why I think this makes sense, is that if we're not taking money from the income tax or general fund. This is dedicated strictly for improvements along State Route 310 to be done.
Go ahead.
The gap where the red, where the proposed path is, what is that land use there? Now you see kind of the backyards of those houses. What is that land use going to be?
What is that going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Backyards of the house is just going to remain as is. Those are their backyards, and there's a white fence that comes down along there that is a decorative white fence that was put in at the time of the subdivision. There's no room there for additional development.
You can see a pretty strong, what looks to be a pretty strong property line to the south.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the property line, the southern edge of that development?
It is not. There's another property,
the
Willits family. It's a vacant lot right now, and I believe it is zoned local business.
Okay, so there is an opportunity at least for, if that were to be developed, that they could pay for that. For that, or reimburse at least. Go ahead. That's what I'm getting to.
What I would look for there is using our fee in lieu of fund to be reimbursed for the trail that's already in.
Okay, that's where I was going with it, instead of versus the TIF funds.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second question would be easements and right of way. Are you planning of this to be in right of way, or are you planning on easements?
I would say it would be in the existing right of way.
Okay, and then within right of way, do you know what your widths are through there?
Off the top of my head, I don't.
Only because there's some, and I'm sure, Alan, you're aware of the guardrail issues and different things for safety purposes. Putting a path adjacent to 310,
correct.
You're asking for trouble if you don't put up the correct,
yep.
If you're within 8 feet, I believe, mm-hmm. of the paved surface.
And if I spoke incorrectly, go ahead.
And Jobs was talking about some right-of-way acquisition potential there, or some easement, but I didn't review that.
Okay, just if you're thinking about in lieu, if you're going to have them do it anyhow,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can hear the development, and you're probably going to hear about it. When they come in and say, there's a path out there anyhow, why are you making us pay for it?
Sure.
It doesn't make any sense. Just making sure we're very clear with them.
It would be, and my comment would be that it's a code requirement for them to pay to install the path on the subdivision.
I'm saying the argument is that since there's a path there already,
mm-hmm.
why am I paying for it?
Mm-hmm.
Just making sure they're really clear about that.
Absolutely, and I think we have a good argument that it's required.
We did it for them, so they wouldn't have to do it. They just have to pay us back.
Well, and I guess it goes without saying, but I just want to make sure that we keep it, you know, at the front, that any of our new developments or any pay and have it put in.
Right.
I think that's important mm-hmm. for us to either get the fee in lieu of or have them install it.
No doubt.
So we can start that fund. And we're not have to pay for something.
In Carrington, I believe it's triggered with phase two that they have to put in one along there as well. So that is in place. With
along 310?
One.
Yes. Interesting. Are they starting phase two now? Okay.
They have not. I think they had some issues that postponed things they were looking to do. So that pushed them back, I believe, in spring of 17 is when they planned on beginning phase two.
Thank you.
Okay. I think this is something that, again, getting a layout together with all of this information for presentation for the whole of council to review.
Well,
so we have all the details and answer all the questions that they may come up with.
The next thing is the Summit Road and Broad Street improvements slash TIF. We've been working with the property owners and their legal counsel and their engineers looking at the intersection of Broad Street and Summit Road. And I say that because of the development, the plan development that was approved for the north and southeast corners of Broad and Summit Road. Knowing right now that on Broad Street there are turn lanes, there's no turn lanes on Summit Road. On Broad Street, there's no turn, there's no signal head for an arrow, though. So stacking right now for cars there is minimal, and there's no way to turn left or right. And in the mornings with school, and as we get additional development, there needs to be some improvements made to that intersection. So we've started the discussions about having those funded through a TIF. It would essentially be a reimbursable TIF where the developer would – we'd create the TIF, the developer would fund the improvements, so all the risk is on the developer because the TIF funds aren't going to be generated until there's improvements on the actual properties and the evaluations of the properties start to increase. At that time, we'd have an agreement in place that they would get reimbursed up to their amount, and then the city would continue to collect the rest of the TIFs in that area for this. Looking at about a $1.2 million improvement that would have to occur at that intersection, looking at what the needs are. That would also include the mast arm signal heads that would be in place. I've talked to our legal counsel, and he's starting to draft some draft TIF language for us to take a look at to see what it would look like and also what the different options are for the different TIF lengths and who would be made whole and that sort of stuff with this. So I anticipate getting that soon from him, and we'll be able to provide additional information. There's a map, I believe, on – it's not. I thought there was a map included that would show what the improvements are. Alan, if you want to touch on those.
Yeah, you hit a couple of them, the north and southbound turn lanes, the protected left for the east and the westbound movements on Broad Street, bound left turn lane into the new development section. So it would be a roadway widening on both the Broad Street, extending that eastbound left turn lane onto Summit. Also making that a suicide lane, subdivision.
Well, I know even coming here, you get caught in that that area at busy, you know, high traffic times, and you basically can't move. I mean, it's pretty bad, especially when you have a bunch of school buses trying to turn left.
Yeah.
That's when there really is a huge safety issue, when I watch school buses run red lights so they can turn left onto Summit. Andy, you have a question?
Yep. You said this was the developer's engineer's estimate?
Correct, it was. They said
and,
this.
And doesn't. Alan, you said something about a left, it's leftbound or eastbound left turn. That's east of the intersection?
Yes, there will be one east of the intersection to access the property on the north, out past the intersection.
Okay. Okay. And obviously, the city's going to look at stacking and everything for the opposing westbound left turn south onto Summit, correct? You're going to have a leftbound south.
Correct.
The traffic counts didn't indicate that there's already a westbound left turn lane for south Summit.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I did not anticipate extending that because the traffic didn't warrant it.
So you guys have already received a traffic study?
Yes.
And what was that dated also back in May of April of 16?
Correct.
So that was in continue. Okay.
Yeah, correct. And this is all, you know, these here preliminary at this point. No plans have been done or anything. So go ahead.
One thing I wanted to add to that is I've had some complaints about or some people wanting to look into safety about crossing Broad Street. That had never been entered into this conversation, but PED facilities might be something.
Well, it's absolutely something to consider if we're going to develop that intersection with the gas station and the school and a restaurant, and we don't know what might go up on the other corners. I mean, we would need to consider all of those things up front. So it's, again, as BJ put it, the risk of the developer putting that money in and not the city.
And I was just asking here, I believe the certified gas station has a sidewalk in front of it, and as these develop as well, they would have sidewalks in front of them as well. So we start getting it all there and ultimately, hopefully, up to the schools.
Okay. Okay.
And so the next step of this, I'm waiting on some information from our legal counsel, and we'll proceed accordingly with this as well. And once I get that, put everything together for council of a whole for discussion and review. I appreciate the feedback and the support from the development committee, and means we're ready to move forward with it.
I appreciate you guys forward thinking on these things so we don't catch ourselves behind like we have in the past. So now we're looking at, you know, dangerous areas with no sidewalks or whatever, where and now the city would have to, the taxpayers would take that burden on versus a developer. So
If we could get a map, or if the committee could get a map.
Yes.
Yeah, I apologize. I thought it was part of this whole packet, and my printing skills before weren't good, and Alan pointed out that I missed pages, so I hurried. But I'll get that out to the committee. I'll email it out tomorrow morning to you.
And you see a contingency at 1.7% with about nothing, and then you've got a design contingency of almost 200,000. I think that's kind of interesting that we've got a 20% design contingency and a 1.7%
construction, which usually they should be
usually
flipped.
That, well,
close to flipped.
Yeah. So I just find that I know it's preliminary, so it'll be interesting to see what they come up with when they finish their plans.
The last thing I wanted to do is turn it over to Scott so he can just give a couple updates on a couple of the subdivisions that are going. I know I included it in my council, my weekly council update, but I wanted him to go ahead and touch on some of those to keep you guys apprised.
Okay.
Thank you, BJ. These are just some of the big ones that we've been dealing with since our last development committee that I just wanted to touch on. Section 3, Phase 3 of the settlement. We just had a pre-construction meeting on the 27th of July. This section / phase extends Isaac Thorpe Street to the west and includes a total of 21 new single-family lots. Legacy Estates, which is over by the fire department on East Broad. They are moving forward with phase 3. This phase extends Hoover Way and Mary Lou Drive to the east towards Walken Road and includes 37 new single-family lots. And then from the email correspondence, we've seen that we're planning on a pre-construction meeting in August with construction commencing in September. And finally, the Villas at Forest Farm is constructing phase 2. That's a condominium development off Watkins Road. This winter, we had some issues with them not maintaining their erosion and sediment control, which was brought to the attention of EPA. We went out there. They were not. So we did a stop work order to make sure that they were in compliance. We got them back in compliance, but it was brought to our attention again. They were falling behind. So we went out, investigated, and indeed they were falling behind. We established a deadline that they needed to have these things rectified and rectified properly and do weekly inspections. That we went out by the deadline, saw that everything was in working order, but due to the past history of this, we're going to make sure that we stay on top of it so it doesn't slip and we don't get in trouble with the EPA, but they've been pleased with our response getting out there and keeping them apprised of what's going on, so they can see that we're doing everything that we can do on our end to make sure that they're in compliance.
Okay. Any questions for Scott? All right, yeah, anybody have anything else that they want to bring up this evening?
Thanks for the update on these different things, Scott. With a new hire, what do you think is going to of these three different projects that you've been working on? How much time do you think you're going to actually free up your involvement with, say, the environmental issues or the permitting or the pre-cons or stuff? You know, in your assessment, how much time do you think you'll free up at this point?
Well, I think it'll be considerable amount of time. I think once that we get Zach on board and, you know, he's already been doing permits today. So the next phase is we sit down when these folks come back in and dust off plans. We go through, and I think it's going to come along quick, and I think it's going to free up a lot of time. And we've been discussing a lot of things that I think is going to prove to be beneficial very quickly.
If I can just add to that, I think we're going to see also at the very beginning of all of these with staff reports and presenting to boards or Planning and Zoning Commission and BZA that that's going to free up a lot of Scott's time too. So I think then Zach will see these things through to construction.
Good.
Amy. Okay. Very good. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Kathy?
Carter?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.